This time I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Genoa Township Trustee Board of Trustees. Date is January 17, 2019. The time is 8:30 a.m. At this time, I will read that this meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees will be recorded. The meeting audio and written minutes are available on Genoa Township's website at www.genoatwp.com or by contacting the Genoa Township Fiscal Office. At this time, rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Very good. Thank you. All right. At this time, we'll begin with, is there any county, state, or public official comment? Seeing none, is there any public comment? 3-minute limit and no yielding of time still is in effect. Any public comment? Yes.
Good morning. My name is John McHale, 6817 Regency Drive. yesterday, there were some questions on Facebook about the meeting taking place at 8:30 this morning when it was posted online that the meeting time had changed. There was a dialogue that started, and some residents were saying that you're trying to hide something by having a meeting early in the morning, and that the residents don't want it early in the morning, and that why did you change it, and it should have gone to voters to make the change. So I said in the information that it was unanimous vote for these to take place, and so on and so forth. And then
let me correct you, John. It was not unanimous. I voted not to accept it.
That's an incorrect statement. Just one second. Let me speak because I only have 3 minutes, and now he interrupted, so I
That's
get
fine.
A few more
Go ahead,
seconds.
John.
So before I continue, Carl, did you ask me to speak here today?
I did not.
Did you ask me to post anything on Facebook?
I did not.
On yesterday on Facebook, I got accused of being basically your minion, that if you want something brought forth, you tell me because we're neighbors. So that the public knows, I've lived at my address for almost 18 years. Carl and I are neighbors. I've never gone hunting, fishing, golfing, even for a walk with Carl. I've been in his house once when I volunteered to serve as on the people trying to get him elected because I think he's a good guy. We're not friends. We're neighbors. So all these attacks of me being your minion are false. If anybody knew me, they would know that I'm not that kind of person. I speak for myself, and I speak when I think that something's just not right, for the most part. At the January 3rd meeting, Trustee D'Antonio mentioned that numerous residents had complained about the meeting, time change, and that he has never been in favor of this change. As you know, I attend a lot of the meetings, and I went back and looked at my notes, and I saw that it was a unanimous vote. So I thought, just to be sure, let me go back and check. So I went back to the July 19th, 2018 meeting, and Trustee Goodman proposed that in the trustee comments, actually, that one meeting be moved to the morning to accommodate residents' schedules. Trustee D'Antonio was in favor of diversifying times and dates to encourage more participants. Your word, Trustee D'Antonio, not mine. You wanted to diversify. Second, on August 2nd, 2018, at the trustee meeting, the meeting was again, the meeting time change was again discussed and a vote taken. The vote was unanimous. And if you recall, Trustee D'Antonio, you only requested that it be moved to January 1, 2019 to accommodate your personal schedule. Third, at the August 16th, 2018 meeting, in trustee comments, Trustee D'Antonio confirmed in a dialogue between you both that he had been in favor of a time change since becoming a trustee. So now to say that you've never been in favor of the time change is simply inaccurate. Now you've stirred up this whole thing of your minions that are saying that this is to do something behind the scenes and that you're trying to get away with something. I think these meetings have to be transparent, they have to be opened, and they need to be honest. Thank goodness we have the recordings. If you don't believe that you said it was a unanimous vote, please go back to the August 2nd tape and listen to it. I promise you it was. And I think that our citizens need to make Genoa kind again. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, public comments? All right. Hearing none. We will move into fiscal report.
All we have at this time is the December financial. The books are closed for 2018 with a balance of $18,144,648.58. Of that, we carried over $226,924.87. For outstanding encumbrances that could not be paid in 2018 and will be paid with our first check run. We also have $359,369 for our reserve balance. So our year-end balance certified to the county auditor was $17,558,354.71. We're still waiting for the resources from the county, so once we obtain that, we'll forward a copy on to you guys and the rest of the department heads, and we'll be up and running.
Very good.
Does anybody have any questions?
What is the final number of the uncashed checks from previous years that will be reported as unclaimed funds?
I'm working right now. I have two. I have $319, so we have roughly about $4,500.
That will report as of 12/31?
I don't know if we're going to report them or not. We're still working with the vendors to find out exactly what happened, because if it was a legitimate payment, I'm going to reissue those and we won't have to claim it. We'll report it to unclaimed funds. There, you know, we'll give it to them. If we don't hear anything, then at that time, yes, they will be reported to unclaimed funds. But most of them I was able to clear up, going back, talking to the vendor, you know, seeing what happened, you know, what was going on. And we didn't have to do that.
Did you void the checks then and reissue checks?
Yes, I did.
Very good. That's a question I had, and I assumed that had happened. Okay. Any other questions for fiscal? All right. Seeing none, we'll go into trustee comments. Any trustee comments? Frank?
Yes. If I was in favor of a time change, and I was in favor of time change, as a matter of fact, and I was in favor of even a day change, I do not recall being in favor of an 8:30 a.m. time change. If I was, I've changed my mind, and I am not. So let the record show in terms of the audio minutes and the written minutes that there is only one person present from the general public. Paul or Bob, is the status of the drainage issues for Charles Road and Paul Road residents?
I will look into that and report back to the board by email on the latest information.
Well, I did have a phone conversation with Chris Bowserman, county engineer, on several issues. That being one of them, I made him aware of the concerns and issues expressed by the residents of Charles. I expressed to him the concerns of the trustees that we have about $100,000 of new infrastructure, drainage infrastructure, that we had placed on Charles and Paul, but mainly Charles, that could be adversely impacted by this. I said I was under the impression, although it had not been confirmed, that the gas company was the one that was doing the work and that it was not the county per se. He clarified clarify that, you know, there are two independent projects going on there. One is with the gas company that is laying a new gas line, and the other is the improvements to Old 3C. Those are two separate projects, but they are happening simultaneously. And that I made him aware that I had not had it verified, that a complaint had been filed against the gas company with the PUCO. And he said that doesn't surprise him. He said that happens, and he would, check into that. He did agree to go down and have someone look at the site to make sure that there was nothing that the county was doing that was adversely impacting on the drainage, and if so, that they would fix it. Since that time, I think the rain itself, has subsided. We don't have those same conditions that we had before where there was drainage. I did talk to Bob. You were going to, I believe, use a camera to check the drainage that we had put in on Charles to make sure, if there was any damage, where that damage was. We were also going to, Chris was also going to look at the drainage outlet, which would be south of Charles down towards where they've been down towards Mount Royal, to make sure that any road issues or construction that was not adversely affecting any of the drainage there. If it was, they would correct it. So that's the latest I have on that status. That meeting was held, or that call was held, I believe it was on January 7th with Chris.
Do we have any time frame when they're going, the county's going to look at things?
He was going to look at it immediately and get back with me if there were any problems or any things that needed to be resolved. I have not heard from Chris. It's
10 days.
Yeah. So I can follow up with Chris. I'll be probably seeing him and see. But I did make him aware of the situation, and he said, look, if it's something the county's doing, absolutely, we don't want to have responsibility for that, especially affecting the residents and potentially impacting on our drainage system that we put in. So that's where we're at. The other issue we can talk about, I think we have another agenda item dealing with the work agreement, and we can have that conversation. So, Bob, I don't know if you have anything else to add. That was just the conversation that I had committed to having with Chris, and it was held.
We got in one line on Paul, and it was fine. We didn't get too far down the line because of the weather turns. We had to pull off to do snow removal. So we are planning on Cameron and all that, on Paul and Charles.
When you say using the camera, that's down to the connection point to the county drainage?
Yeah, we started right there, old three, where the catch space we tied into.
Right, and you're going backwards.
That first section is probably 250 feet, and it was fine.
Okay.
Nothing in it.
But you haven't checked Charles yet?
No, I haven't checked at all. Anything but that first run. That's the only thing we got done.
Okay. Will that be sometime?
As soon as we get a break from the weather, we'll go back down and camera all of it.
Okay, thanks. The I'm going to be out of town on March the 7th, so I'd like to reschedule the March 7th trustee meeting, please.
Okay. Look at dates. Following week be better, Frank, or sometime else that week, or?
I'm really looking at like the 12th or 13th, 14th of the following week.
Right now I'm open all of those days.
As am I.
Pick your date, Frank. Right now they're all open.
Since this will be the first meeting of the month, we'll be at a 6:30. So let's do the 12th, if that's okay.
Oh, yep, sounds good.
And will the hall be available?
Yeah, let's.
I do not know.
Okay, let's check that.
It will either be in this room or the hall or the conference.
Conference room. Okay. All right. Great. Thanks. Okay. Anything else, Frank?
Since we've moved the times of our second meeting of the month to 8:30, previously we've had, with all of our meetings, a 2.5-hour stop time. Mm-hmm. So the target time now for this meeting would be 11 o'clock. Because of other employment responsibilities that I have, we'll have to, I'm suggesting maybe a 11 o'clock stop time. Mm-hmm. And at most an 11:30 for an executive session, because I've got other commitments throughout the rest of the day.
That sounds
so
good.
So if we can try to stick to that.
Yep.
I'm fine with that.
I would love to try that.
The Paul/Bob, what's the status of the Parkmore Estates drainage issue now that we're in the new year?
I had some pipe left over, so we have started that. We've ran about 400 feet, and we stopped because of the weather.
But so it's in the ground? We got 400 feet in the ground?
Yeah.
Okay, good, great. One item that I forgot to bring up at the reorganizational meeting concerned the assignment of the assistant prosecutor to Genoa. For several years, it's been Andrew King, and I think that, well, I would like to have a change of the assigned prosecutor because I think it's time to get a different variety, a different change. Andrew's been familiar with some of the issues, well, maybe all of the issues with Genoa, but I'd like to get a different perspective from a different assistant prosecutor, and I know that they periodically do rotate assistant prosecutors, so I was wondering what the board thought about that.
Paul, how is that? Those are assigned by the county prosecutor, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure that we would have
that is correct. The township has never selected a prosecutor to work with. The county prosecutor does that in her own office, and it's based upon workload and experience. Some townships don't need the legal expertise of the larger townships, so Prosecutor O'Brien has assigned those.
I do know we will be experiencing a change at the county prosecutor's office, and what I would suggest, I mean, I can make Carol aware of your request, Frank. Personally, I don't have a problem with the current situation. I think there have been times when we have had Mark Fowler or Chris Betts involved in a issue, but I can bring it up to Carol, and then her predecessor will probably be named around mid-April, and so at that time, then that new county prosecutor may have a whole different system that they would want to look at. So I would suggest, I will put it on Carol's radar screen, but I would suggest we wait and see what the new prosecutor's process will be for them.
What will they do in the interim before mid-April, because she's leaving now to go to the
Attorney General's
office downtown?
Right. Carol's accepted a position with the Attorney General's office. Her last day on the job as county prosecutor will be February 28th. The county commissioners will appoint an interim person to fill that void until her replacement is appointed.
Okay. Last item I've got is what is the status of getting additional information regarding the $300,000 TIF payment to Westerville City Schools?
Yesterday I spoke with Attorney Griggs and discussed the total payback. He is working with the school district's attorney, and they will work on figuring out what the total amount, I think that was the remaining question, what the total amount owed was on this. The decision or the answer will be given to the township during the annual TIF meeting that will be held sometime before March 31st.
Well, that was the total amount is just one of the questions. I did have concerns and disagreements with the calculation in itself. So it's a lot bigger than just the issue. My issues are a lot bigger than just the amount.
That was verified with the legal opinion from Pete Griggs that said that that formula was correct. He talked it over with the Attorney Gillis from the school district, and it was deemed that that formula was accurate by the two attorneys.
I read those. It was not a legal opinion. I read those, and there was recollection, if I recall the word that was used. It was not documented or any evidence submitted to support the position of the Westerville school attorney.
If I could suggest, this is one of those issues that I just feel is going to keep going on and on until it gets resolved one way or the other. I would suggest that, Paul, you set up a meeting with Paul Pete Griggs, the attorney for Westerville Schools, Trustee D'Antoni, and yourself, and bring resolution to this issue by, I would say, no later than the second meeting in February.
Okay. Let's also have the Westerville treasurer present at that meeting, too. That's it.
Okay. Very good. Connie?
I have nothing today. Thank you.
Okay. I'd just like to remind folks that, you know, we the weathermen love this time of year, and you know, we aren't sure what's going to happen, Bob, over the next 48 hours or so. But you know, we don't have the legal authority to remove cars from the streets like some municipalities do as far as snow emergencies. But I think traditionally we have strongly suggested that if cars can be moved from the street during these heavy snow periods, it just makes it a lot easier for snow plows to get down the streets and clear the roads, as our residents have come to expect. And I've seen a couple emails just even from the last snow event complimenting the township on getting the streets cleaned. So that would I would, Paul, if you could have Leslie put something out on Facebook and on the website just reminding folks to move cars off the streets during this weekend.
Good last storm too, but yeah, a lot of residents didn't adhere.
Yeah, that would just be helpful. Other than that, I'm tempted to comment on Mr. McHale's statements, but I won't. I'm not a follower of Facebook and social media, and I'm not a proponent of public policy through propaganda. And so I just appreciate the comments, Mr. McHale. All right. Maintenance. Bob?
First item is the dump truck lease. I got the final documents back from National Lease, and they were able to make the corrections that we talked about on our conference call. So I would...
What did you say, Bob? They were or were not?
They were. Did you see any of the thing that...
They did make most of the changes. They did not make all, but they did make most.
Okay, at this time I will move to enter into an agreement with National Cooperative Leasing for a 60-month lease of a 2019 Kenworth T370 cab and chassis dump truck, plow, and salt spinner, and authorize Township Administrator Paul Wise to sign all documents on behalf of the board. And the board also approves the purchase order and yearly payment of $34,839.59. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any further discussion?
The corrections that were made, as I started to say, most of them were made. The ones that weren't made are acceptable to stay as they are. One of the comments that was made earlier was that this National Cooperative Leasing was the only leasing company that would lease this truck. That's not an accurate statement. I did find two others that were willing to lease, one of which was going to submit a proposal. Unfortunately, unfortunately, they did not. A 6.18% interest rate is a little bit high. It's not extravagantly high, but it is a little bit high based on the current market for leases for governmental entities. What account number will this be charged to? Will it be the roads department?
It's coming out of gasoline tax.
Gasoline tax?
Yes.
Okay. That's all.
Very good. Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, Bob. When do we expect delivery on that?
I talked with Kenworth yesterday. They said that it's in production. They think it will be ready for delivery in about a month.
A month? Okay. Very good. All right.
Next item is new business. Just need to get approval to go out to bid on the county's bid for the resurfacing for this year.
All right. Excuse me. At this time, I will move to participate in the 2019 road improvement project bid through the county engineer's office. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Discussion. Well, I want to briefly talk about the list.
We've been getting a lot of complaints about paint. So there's about the estimate that the county did. There's about $45,000 in painting some of the main streets, and then the streets that are getting resurfaced are Hawthorne Valley Drive, Parkmore Drive, Spring Run Drive from Max down up to just about the park, our property at Center Green Park. The other part of Spring Run is not in bad shape. And then Max down from Spring Run to the east to
Sunbury.
I couldn't think of it. And the rest is all painting.
Okay. Bob, I thought that you previously told me that we did not stripe roads.
We do not stripe residential streets. These are like Big Walnut, these Worthington Road. They're major roads that are striped. They're the only streets, most of these streets haven't been striped for about 3 years. And all the streets that I got on there are ones that have been painted. We don't normally paint any edge line or center line on any street as residential. These are all like thoroughfares, like Maxtown, like Center Green, Freeman, Center Village, where they're major roads.
Yeah. Okay. The cost per mile on your summary sheet here ranges anywhere from $71,000 per mile. For instance, Hawthorne is a dead-end street, correct?
Correct.
That's at an equivalent cost of $71,000 per mile, and we're doing 4/10 of a mile.
These are prices that county has estimated will pay. It's not my calculations. It's the county gives us an estimate, and then they go out to bid and see what they get. But these are all estimates the county put together. So I couldn't answer any questions about why it's so high. They got a figure they use when they give us an estimate and see if we can pay for it, and then they go out to bid.
So the assumption is by going in with the county's bid package that
we'll get a better price.
And quantity, there would be a better price.
Usually, from what I've seen for the last 2-3 years, it'll be real close to what they've estimated.
Yep. What needs to be done? Maxtown Road was redone.
We didn't go any farther than Spring Run when we did the other part of Maxtown. Spring Run from Spring Run to Sunbury hasn't been touched in probably 15 years, maybe even longer. It's got a lot of holes in it, and it's been in bad shape.
Well, I travel it frequently. Carl, you probably travel it every day.
Yep, I do.
So I will defer to you as far as the condition of it, but it certainly seems passable to me. I don't notice any of the holes or anything.
Maxtown is a very busy thoroughfare. I think people use that to avoid going County Line Road and the school zones and everything up there. But I think it is, you know, getting close to needing work, and I think our policy has always been to try to, before things get real bad, try to address the issues kind of preemptively to actually help reduce costs of having to go in and do some major work. So I would have Bob make those calls. That's what you're there for. You have more experience with the roads in Genoa Township than all of us put together probably. And I think anything we can do to be preemptive in avoiding bigger problems is probably good.
What's the difference, Bob, between the first Maxtown Road and the last Maxtown Road on your summary schedule?
One of them's the resurfacing, one of them's just pain.
Well, that's combined on all the other estimates as into one single detail sheet.
If you look at the sheet on the estimate, the first one is resurfacing that section, and the second one is painting from where the township line starts to the west. It's just this side of Whitetail to Sunbury. You see the difference in the cost.
I see the difference in the cost.
That's the only street that's on there twice, and it's because of the way the county has you fill out the estimate forms. They only want the paint on it, and then they want the resurfacing on a different sheet.
So we, Genoa, made the determination that this is what we want done, or the county using county pricing, or did the county make these determinations?
This is what we think needs to be done, and we submit it to the county for an estimate. And we come up with the roads by the rating system that we do every year. We go through every road and rate it. And these were the worst ones.
The Parkmore cul-de-sac is going to cost $60,000.
That's the whole road from Africa to the cul-de-sac.
From the whole road. Oh, okay. Including the cul-de-sac?
Including the cul-de-sac.
Wasn't part of Parkmore previously done in our discussions about the drainage? Or was that drainage only?
Drainage only. Parkmore has not been touched since I've been with the township. And so it's at least 17 years old.
What about the roads going off of Parkmore?
They're not on this one.
What is their condition?
I'd have to get the evaluation thing and look, but I have a real concern about roads. There's 33% of our roads are 60 or lower. So we're losing ground on all the roads now. And after a hard winter, you're going to see it with potholes. But I couldn't tell you what Patricia and all the ones over there, Jerry, Jill, all them, I can't tell you right offhand what they rated. But I would say that some of them are close to what Parkmore was, but I don't know without looking at it.
I'm just wondering if we can get some economies of scale, because they probably have not been touched either. I mean, Parkmore's the main drag, and if it hasn't been touched in 17 years,
right,
it's highly unlikely that the side streets have been touched in 17 years.
I've picked the roads that were the worst. I know what you're saying, and I agree with you, but we don't have the money to do that kind of stuff.
So when it was just submitted as the Parkmore itself.
Correct.
Mainly because it was...
You would probably get a better price with all the roads in there, but we can't afford it.
Well, until we know the price, we don't know if we can afford it.
Well,
can we include, what does
the budget that I have that was approved by the board? I have $225,000 to work with, and that's what the estimate was, $221,000.
But this does not bind us to do anything. It's only going to get us on a list to get bids. Is that correct?
It's getting bids for these streets.
Well, can we go ahead and add the ancillary streets? And if they're too costly, then we just don't do them?
You could add them, yes.
I think that.
But are there other roads? I mean, until you look at the, there could be other streets and roads that are actually in worse condition than the side streets on Parkmore.
Correct. There is.
So I'm not saying that it's, you know, I'm not debating the economies of scale concept, but if we have limited funds, does the economy of scale fixing roads that may or may not need fixed trump those roads that may need fixed? So if we're going to add roads, let's keep working on roads that actually need to be repaired in spite of the fact that there could be some economies there. I'm just throwing that as an
option. I could bring the ratings and you guys can see them.
That'd be fine, yeah.
Well, I think the other thing is I remember that area. Parkmore is the main drive that everything else comes off of, so it probably gets a great deal more traffic. Everybody that goes in there has to use Parkmore at some length of the road, so it probably is in worse shape than some of the others. Again, I do understand the economies of scale also, but I think Parkmore is probably the worst one of all.
Well, let's bring in the summary sheet, the evaluation sheet, or whatever it's called.
Okay.
Well, what's our timing on this? When do we need to get whatever we need to get to the county?
I got to have this up tomorrow to the county.
When?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. This one, right?
Yes.
That we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So if we were to submit this tomorrow, so we've gotten these streets at least in the process, is there any way of amending something going forward?
I can add them, but if we can afford them, I can add them after we have the bids. They just don't know what the price is, but they will. We'll get the same price at bidding it or better.
Okay, right. It won't be any higher on a cost per mile basis.
It won't be any higher than this estimate they sent now.
Okay. So do we need to, would you suggest then amending the motion that we will go ahead and send this up, which I think the motion addresses the bid package that you put together, and then we'll just qualify it by saying that, you know, once we get the bids in, we can sit down and kind of look at reevaluate the situation. I would also, though, like a list of those streets that, from a prioritization standpoint, may be higher priority than those side streets coming off Parkmore, just so we have a clear picture of, you know, if we do X, we can't do Y.
Okay.
Thanks.
Trustee Gephardt, yep. Just for information, we will bring back the actual bids, so you will also accept that in a completely separate resolution. This is just the summary, and then the actual cost will come through and be evaluated and then approved by the board. Okay. As well, before any money can be expended.
So we would have time to modify,
yes,
anything on here at that point?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's helpful.
And from a procedural standpoint, the trustees probably don't even need to approve this because it's non-binding. It's just a request to go out and get information, get bids. Be part of the process.
The county will not get us. They won't include us unless we have signatures from the trustees.
Yeah. Okay. So we have the motion on the floor. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes. Motion carries. All right. Anything else, Bob?
No, that's it.
Very good. Staffing in preparation for winter, are we doing okay there?
Yeah, we're doing okay.
Good.
We're going to get ready today and tomorrow for this weekend.
All right. Hey, it's January in Ohio.
Yep.
I don't know why we're always surprised by snow. Paul, administration.
Good morning. First up is I had a request from the board at a past meeting to summarize all of the properties that the township owned, and they are in your folder. You had mentioned too that you wanted to know their purposes, and those were written on the last column. Most of those properties are either township right-of-ways, or they're trails, or parks, or open space, cemeteries. So there's not a lot of flexibility with doing anything with any of our properties. We added on the new property at Big Walnut and New Three. We have the property on the other side of Hoover Reservoir on Sunbury Road. It's also on that list, which is being held as a potential site for a future police fire substation.
Was that in our notebook or our advance packet?
It was in the advance packet. Did it make it into there?
Also.
It's in your book also.
Because
it was behind Bob's things.
Oh, look behind Bob's items. I guess
under maintenance.
Yes. Uh-huh. Right there.
Because mine did not print off. Okay.
Ah, I see.
So the board had requested this and on your goals to look at the properties from last year and make some comment or decision on the future of these properties. So here is your compiled list, and that's what we have to work with.
The list does not include, at least I'm not seeing it, what the acreage is. For instance, how many acres is the one on Fleur Drive? And when you reference open space, what does that mean? What does open space mean?
Open space is a commitment from zoning where it was granted as a deed for open space.
So it'd be part of a conservation development, for instance, requirement, or is that open? Because I know there was
land that we were given in lieu of open space.
In lieu of open space.
And the agreement was it was for me, parkland, like I think Worthington Gardens.
Yeah.
That's correct.
All right.
Okay. Well, one of the things that could be certainly looked at is the Tussock Road facility. It's currently being used as police department storage. We're building a new police building, and we haven't decided what we're going to do with the old police building. So if there is necessary storage being done on the Tussock Road, that certainly could be moved over to the existing police department, police station, and then free up the Tussock Road for either, Carl, you and I have talked about moving that before, that we got a ridiculous quote that doesn't make any sense.
Sounds like a good weekend project for you and I, pick up and drag it down.
Yeah, but if we're, it doesn't seem to be serving a purpose, so we should, I think we should evaluate putting it up on the market and see if we can get some money out of that to the general revenue fund. That's just one, for instance.
This may be a historical site also, so it may have limitations on the deed also. It used to be the former township hall. I'm not sure. I'm speculating that it's a historical site.
That doesn't prevent selling. It just prevents certain things that can be done to it, and it would have to be registered as a historical site, and I don't see anything on that that would designate that it is.
Given that there is some worth to that building currently, it's being used for a lot of items for the police department being stocked inside of there. So if you're going to consider anything, I would kick it down the road until the new facility is built.
For sure. That's what I'm I'm saying that that's a candidate. Right. Once the new facility gets built, the old facility will be vacant. We haven't decided what we're going to do with the old facility yet.
Right.
I'm not a proponent of tearing down the old facility. Everything's got a use, and we could take that from Tussock, whatever's in there, and move it to the existing facility. And then that frees up whatever is at Tussock to that frees that up, then that we could, everything's got a value. So that would be one. What with regard to this open space, are we legally bound perpetually to keep it as open space? I can't believe that we are.
The deeds, at least for the last 15 years, any of the deeds to the township have stipulated it should remain open space or used for parkland for future, for the forever. So I can't speak of deeds before that point.
I would concur with Frank. One area that would be nice is if you have available the acreage. It would be good to have that on there.
And then let's do some further research and indicate if there is a deed restriction and what that deed restriction is, so that we can look at this.
Okay. As soon as that information can be compiled, I'll send it to the board.
Do you think that can be compiled by the end of February?
I'm not sure. You're asking to review a lot of locating and reviewing a lot of legal documents, so there's a lot of time-consuming administrative work involved in this.
Well, if you can give us an update then on the status by the end of February, because I don't want it to fall off, off the radar.
All right. Next up is the we received tax bills this week from the county treasurer, and asked the board to approve a purchase order to pay the county taxes in the amount of $17,022.76.
All right. Yeah. Some papers here. Too many papers floating around. What happened to my I will move to approve a purchase order with John Peterson, Delaware County Treasurer, in the amount of $17,022.76 for the 2019 annual property tax. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
This pertains to the purchase of the property for the new police facility?
That's one of the parcels in the packet.
Now, this is the first half payment, too. It's not the annual.
Right. But we were... Okay, let's go with that's part of it. But we were credited with this amount, well, with probably $17,000 plus at our closing, correct? From the seller?
There was a figure, yes. There was some credit from Casto.
Because Genoa is a tax-exempt organization, but this is for the period of time that Casto owned the property, and we received a credit. But they couldn't pay the tax at that point in time because the tax was not due at that point in time. So this is we received a credit, so we've just been holding this money waiting for this bill. What is the additional portion of the funds? What other?
All the other parcels that the township has that have taxes included or assessments added to those parcels.
Was that in our advance packet? I did not see that.
No, we just received the bills in.
Is it in our notebook packet today?
No, I had, they're all parcels of the township that you've approved in the past, and they just were received. I didn't know you wanted to review each individual tax.
I don't recall approving any tax bills in my previous 3 years because we're a tax-exempt organization.
That is correct. We are a tax-exempt. These are our property taxes. If you look at several, we have, I'm not quite sure if we've been granted the abatement on the project over here yet. We have some ditch taxes that we have to pay. Normally, this amount does not exceed the $2,500 because they've all been, those taxes have been lowered significantly since now they are township property. But because of the $14,000, almost $15,000 tax bill that we just received, payments are due to the county treasurer's office by the 11th. So in order for the fiscal office to process and get those payments up there to the due date, we kind of did throw this one on you, and it was not included.
Okay, so we have not previously approved property tax bills, the trustees?
No, you don't. The only
I
time,
don't recall that
you
we
would, you don't, you would approve the expenditure of the funds to pay those taxes.
Okay, so I'm still not clear why we're paying ditch taxes and et cetera, property taxes related to these other things. I understand Casto.
Yeah.
Everybody, we all understand Casto. We received a credit, so it's really not a cost to us. We've been holding their money. Now we're going to pay. I don't understand the why we're paying any other taxes.
There are some township parcels, two, if I could use it, examples, McNamara Park,
okay,
Center Green Park. Both of those parks have waterways running through them, the pond at McNamara out front and the channel through Center Green Park. Those are part of a ditch assessment that Delaware County assesses to us to maintain those. And therefore, we're charged taxes on our property taxes.
They're very minimal. Like,
but I don't understand why, as a governmental entity, we're not exempt from that. Is there
a form? Gaining benefit from the drainage that is taking place as a result of that ditch. And so, as any other landowner who's getting benefit, it's a ditch maintenance to maintain the drainage. We benefit from it the same way all the other residents do. If the township didn't pay our share of the maintenance of that ditch, that would be put back over onto the other residents, and it wouldn't be equitable that they would be paying more for the same benefit, and we would be paying nothing for benefit. So it's just an equalization on the maintenance of that ditch.
But following that logic, why don't we pay real estate taxes?
I don't know. It's a different issue.
But it would be the same logic,
yeah,
that we're not paying real estate taxes because we're a tax-exempt organization, and we're still getting the benefit of county services through real estate taxes, and others are picking those taxes up.
Well, I'm not saying that those are comparable comparisons. I think those are two separate individual situations. I would suggest having someone with the county auditor's office address the legal reasons why and wherefore. So if we have to, we have to. If we don't, then let's not. But I don't think property tax and ditch maintenance are two comparable issues.
Can you clarify that for the next meeting with the county auditors as to why we're paying, why we're not, Genoa is not paying real estate taxes, but Genoa is paying, for lack of a better word, ditch taxes? Is that?
They're all considered property taxes. And
okay,
sure,
other property taxes.
We provide a lot of the benefit.
It's
so,
a ditch maintenance fee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you can find out the difference between them. But the majority of this $17,000 is related to the Casto property,
is,
correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And when is this due?
February 11th.
February the 11th.
Thank you.
Okay.
Roll call?
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. Motion carries. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. On January 4th, the township received a correspondence from our county prosecutor's office, and the email came in from attorney Andrew King, and at that time, Andrew King proposed that I request our board discuss the partial release of a legal opinion from attorney Peter Griggs to assist in settling a matter. that he had been working on. So I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's up to the board whenever there's consideration of any legal opinion releases. So I'll let the board discuss this.
Okay. I'll go ahead and make a motion to release, based on advice from the county prosecutor's office, the legal opinion from Brocious, Johnson, and Griggs that addresses the comp plan and zoning resolution only. The release of legal opinions on all matters requested by the township will continue to be handled on a case-by-case basis upon advice of legal counsel. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion.
Well, it's not up to legal counsel to determine what we the client want to release or not release. That's entirely up to Genoa Township. This matter at hand appears to be releasing one of the two previously not released legal opinions, a portion of one. One has been released. This is number two, and it appears to only release portion of number two. I've read the second legal opinion. There is nothing in that second legal opinion that would warrant exclusion from being a public document. I believe that both of them should be a public document in full, not in part. So I really don't understand why we're segregating a certain portion of this and not just releasing the whole thing. So can anybody explain that to me?
Yes. County Prosecutor, Assistant Prosecutor King, in his memo dated January 4th, states, "The recent use of my released opinion in Benton's lawsuit is an example of how our communications can be used by third parties to the possible detriment of the township." So that's why I think that we can choose to ignore legal advice, but I think with the current situation and the fact that we are currently facing a potential lawsuit, I contend that we continue to follow legal advice. I think it appears that what was requested were the issues listed by Mr. King. Are the two documents independent of one upon one another? Reference there to the comp plan and zoning resolution, and two, which, if any, takes precedent, are the two questions that appears to be asked. And I have made the motion that we release those two sections based on advice from legal counsel. If the township chooses to ignore legal advice and put the township at further legal risk, that's our decision.
I also think that as we've listened to residents requesting legal documents and looked at other correspondences requesting legal documents, what has been requested is the relationship between the comprehensive plan and the zoning resolution, and which document, in effect, takes precedence, which is exactly what this is releasing. So I have no problem releasing this specific section of the Brocious, Johnson, and Griggs document. But again, in concurrence with what Andrew King has said, to release an entire document could put us at take our privilege away.
Only for that document, not for all privilege, just the document in question.
Well, that's why in my motion I stated that we would continue to evaluate any request for legal opinions on a case-by-case basis. So I don't think we're committing ourselves for the future to releasing all legal opinions, nor are we denying all the release of any legal opinion. We will evaluate it as the need arises.
Yes, this is a compromise by mediation by Mr. and Mrs. Stonbaugh, filing an public records request, I assume. That's the basis.
Any other comments?
None.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio.
No.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion carries. Paul, you'll make sure, work with Andrew to make sure the proper or the public record office. Request to the fiscal office, the proper information is provided to those parties. All right.
Thank you. Next up, the board asked that I bring the trustee goals to them at the second meeting in January. You have before you a list that was provided to me from Trustee Goodman and Trustee Gephardt.
I only have Connie's.
I'm sorry.
I only have Connie's in my packet.
The next sheet below that?
Paperclip?
Should be two.
Is it in the notebook packet or the Friday advance
packet? Notebook packet.
Well, since I just received the notebook packet 30 minutes ago, I've not had a chance to look at that.
The second list of goals came in after the deadline of that packet. So you would not have that in that pre-meeting packet.
That's correct. And I don't think it's absolutely
back
necessary. I mean, I saw the ones from Connie. I did get mine in late. I haven't seen, you know, Frank, I assume you'll have some to send in. So I don't think it's necessary that we take action on them today. But I think it's, I think ultimately we want to have some direction for the township and some goals that we can look at. And so I would hope that by the first meeting in February, if that's possible, that we have those in. If there's any additions from Connie or myself or changes, I think that's would be fine too. But so we'll hold this off until the first meeting in February.
Okay.
And get those into us if you would. Thanks.
All right. And then my last item would be the work agreement with Delaware County. I know the board had been anxious to remedy this situation that occurred at the intersection of Mount Royal and Old 3C. The county engineer did, after meeting with Carl, get the information to us on a quick basis. So it's everything that had been requested before. I reviewed these documents, and it's acceptable with me. So I recommend the board move forward with this so we can finalize this issue that's been up in the air for several months.
So, Paul, is there any action that's going to be necessary? I mean, do we have to pass a motion to accept this, amend it, or what's the proper procedure?
I would ask that the board pass the motion allowing me to sign the agreement on behalf of the board, just so the county can move ahead with their paperwork.
Okay.
Accept and allow.
I'm sorry?
Accept the agreement and allow it to sign the work agreement.
Okay. I'm reading it out here. All right, I will make a motion that we authorize Paul Wise to enter into an agreement and sign the agreement, the work agreement between Delaware County and Genoa Township for the property at the northwest corner of Old 3C and Mount Royal. This would, in consideration of mutual benefits occurring to each party through the improvement referred to as DEL-CR24-0.07, which includes widening, constructing curbs, gutters, storm sewers, sidewalks, traffic signals, signs, signing, lighting, and other improvements upon Old 3C and at the intersection of Paul and Charles Road, Hawksbeard, Upper Cambridge Way, Freeman Road, and for other good and valuable considerations hereby authorized Delaware County to enter into said property for the purpose of performing the work described in Exhibit A of the attached work agreement. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion?
The one of the provision, I disagree with this work agreement in most of it. There's a disclaimer in here on the second paragraph that says that the independent contractor, who we don't even know who the independent contractor is solely responsible. So in the Delaware County, who the independent contractor is working under is not responsible. So if we have a problem, we're going to have to go to the independent contractor. We can't go to Delaware County. So that I think that that is a very, very wrong. We had no control over who Delaware County hired, but yet Delaware County doesn't want to accept any responsibility for who they hired. So that's the first item on that. The exhibit does not define a portion of the 4.137 acres that they want. It just says a portion. Could be 4 acres, could be a half. It doesn't describe the size of the of how much they want, nor does it describe the depth of the retention pond. They talk about the approved construction plans in DEL CR 24.07, but they didn't provide the construction plans. We've got some engineering drawings, but we don't have any construction plans. Item number four, it talks about that the engineer will make improvements to restore through seeding and mulching, confining to the Ohio Department of Transportation. Well, what if this is our property? What about Genoa's preferences? We don't know what those Ohio Department of Transportation guidelines are. Our guidelines may, our preferences may be much higher than that. Number five, they only want to put in 2-inch caliber trees. 2-inch caliber trees are very insignificant, very small. It should be a minimum of a 4-inch caliber tree, not a 2-inch caliber tree. Item number six, they talk about that they will install a suitable bikeway. Delaware County engineer will install a suitable bikeway. But it doesn't have with Genoa's approval. So if they what they believe may be suitable may be significantly different than what we deem to be suitable. Then they want to leave a large mound of earth and debris that they have previously dumped on site without prior approval. They don't want to remove that, and I think that that needs to be removed. It's an eyesore right at the moment. Even if they put grass on it, it's out of place. And yes, that's an additional cost to them, and that's why they don't want to remove it. But that used to be a wooded area, and now it's a dumping ground is what it is at the moment. So I do not support this. It's awesome that we finally have this after 3 months. It's a start, but I think that it's got a long ways to go.
Any other comments? Connie?
I think that what they have proposed is within reason. I'm sure that Mr. Wise will keep an eye on this, and he will ensure that this is to the standard that Genoa Township would like to have for this area. We need to do something with it. The trees are gone. We can't go back and glue them up back on. We need to do something with this, and I think this is a reasonable accommodation.
There was one other item that I forgot to mention, is that there's no compensation for this taking of property. We have lawsuits accusing Genoa of taking, yet this is an exact case of taking a property without compensation. When Delaware County decided to expand Old Route 3, they purchased additional right-of-way from each and every resident up along down that path up and down the roadway. Yet when it comes to Genoa, after cutting down the trees, Connie, without permission, after removing all vegetation without permission, and then with with dumping dirt on our property without permission. They don't want to pay. And I think that they should pay because Genoa taxpayers originally purchased that land from the railroads. So it's important that the Genoa taxpayers get replenished for the portion of the easement that they want from that land. So it's a lopsided favorable agreement to the county, and it's not equitable to Genoa taxpayers.
In the email that was sent out that I forwarded to you, the county engineer's office committed up to $50,000 in lieu of money for a future, our application for the OPWC grant that has been submitted for Highland Lakes Avenue. So there is $50,000 up for consideration if this work agreement's approved.
That's not in the agreement.
But it was written in the prefix in the email to us. It's in writing.
Nevertheless, it's not in the agreement. What we're being bound to, what the parties are being bound to, is what's in the work agreement.
Craig, is there any part of this widening of Route 3 and intersection of Mount Royal that you have agreed with?
No,
I didn't think so.
Okay. What relevance is that?
What relevance is it? Is you have looked at every way possible to delay, to cause disruption of this project from the very beginning. And I'm not disagreeing that there are things that should be looked at in this work agreement, or that people should be treated fairly when it comes to purchases of easement. But you have not supported this project from the very beginning, so there's no reason for you to continue to look for ways to make the project go forward. That's what I'm saying. So
I don't understand anything that you just said.
Yeah, well, sorry about that. I will amend the motion that Paul be given the authority to negotiate and to make the county aware of all of the issues that were raised by Mr. D'Antonio, Ms. Goodman, myself, and that we try to continue to work in the best interests of the taxpayers of Genoa Township in improving Old 3C and that particular piece of property. Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio.
I need clarification with regard to the amended resolution. So does that mean that Paul is authorized to execute this or continue discussions?
Paul is authorized to negotiate with the county on the issues that you raised and try to work out an agreement on those. If he can work out the agreement, fine. If he can't work out the agreement, then we need to have that reported back. But he is, the motion will authorize him to sign the work order.
Regardless of whether the issues that I raised are addressed, successfully addressed or not addressed,
that's
correct?
That's correct.
And before we go to a vote, I will second the amended motion for the record.
I'll vote no.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Please.
Good morning. Here to request approval for some purchase orders in regards to the new police facility. Basically, the building and garage demolition, as well as some survey work and environmental work on the property there across the street from us. The first one is for Ohio Cat. That's for the rental of heavy equipment to actually tear down the building. The second is to Sargent Enterprise, which is for the dumpsters to hold all the trash that comes from knocking the building down. The third would be for COC for construction and demo landfill. And the fourth one is to EMH&T for survey and environmental services. That's for the first one's for $2,000, second for $9,500, the third is for $8,000, and the fourth one for $16,900.
Very good. I will move to approve the following purchase orders for the new police facility site work to Ohio CAT, $2,000, Sergeant Enterprise, $9,500, Central Ohio Contractors, $8,000, EMH&T, $16,900. Is there a second?
Second.
Any seconded discussion?
It's my understanding Genoa will be doing the demolition. Why can we not use our existing excavators and backhoes and et cetera to demolish? Why do we need to go out and purchase or rent additional heavy equipment?
My assumption would be that that equipment cannot be used to actually demolish the building, but I'll defer that to Bob.
Bob?
The equipment we have is not big enough and doesn't have the right kind of bucket to demo that.
Is this $2,000 coming with an operator?
No, it does not. That's just a machine.
How long is this rental?
1 week.
So our people are qualified to operate it?
Correct. We have, our guys have run that same machine on road projects. Just got a different type of bucket on it.
And you really think it's going to take 5 working days to knock down a 2,000-square-foot building?
I hope it don't take that long, but I told them that we needed to rent it for a week. If we only rent it for 3 days, you pay the same as you pay for a week. So I don't think we can get it down in 3 days, but we'll try.
Why is there separate costs for the dumpster versus the landfill? Most dumpsters include, dumpster rental companies include the disposal at their whatever, wherever they take it, at landfills or et cetera, whether it be construction or not. I'm very familiar with the dumpster and landfill industries, and to have those two segregated is not common.
I'll defer that to Paul Wise, who was kind enough to set up these properties for us.
The dumpster company is Sargent Enterprise. They bring a dumpster. They charge us only to bring the dumpster and come get it. That's why it's made out for one, for Sargent Enterprise, and COC is the actual operator of the transfer station.
I understand that. But Sargent is going to take the debris to the landfill, correct?
They are getting the dumpster with the debris in and taking it to the landfill, correct.
Right. And what I'm saying is that included in the price of dumpsters, because nobody ever rents a dumpster and returns it empty, included in the cost of the dumpsters is the cost of removal / disposal of what's the contents of the dumpster.
They do not charge us like they charge a normal person. They only bring the dumpster to us for a price, and then the rest of the price is to pay for the landfill tipping. And that's why it broke out into COC and Sargent. I could go back and see if I can get a place to bring the dumpster. Say the price of the dumpster is $200. That's what they're charging to bring the dumpster, and it you pay by weight in that dumpster when you tip it at the transfer station. So the company that XYZ has it and brings it to you, like you're saying, you might pay $700 to $800 for that same dumpster. We paying the tipping fee and we're getting a better price on the dumpster from Sargent. That's the same way we do with spring cleanup and the leaf cleanup in the fall. They bring it dumpster to us, and then they get it, and then they take it to wherever we want it taken, and they only charge us a lower rate for the dumpster.
Did Genoa receive other quotes? For the survey and environmental services?
I had requested two other firms to bid, and I haven't gotten anything back from them. They failed to respond. Then one company out of Columbus said it was going to be for a two-story site, including the garage and the structure.
I'm sorry. I moved on to the survey and environmental services.
Oh.
Sorry. I switched gears.
Right. No,
this is
what fund is this going to be charged to?
The general fund capital projects can be reimbursed by the bond money.
Does the general fund have enough money in it to pay this without sacrificing something else from the general revenue fund?
I budgeted this amount during the budget hearings that we had. I plugged in $80,000
for these type of expenses.
And we're using up 50. In round numbers, right? 45. So we don't have much more cushion on that, right?
When will the reimbursements start?
I'm not exactly quite sure.
All right, let's check on that.
We will have to, we have, I believe it's 90 days that we have to present a reimbursement resolution to you. So. Once we get all of that paperwork in order from the legal counsel, our bond counsel, we'll let you guys know ahead.
Okay, very good. All right, roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
That's it, unless there's anything for me.
I think we're good.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
There were two grievances filed by the two police unions. What were those grievances regarding?
I believe we are going to be talking about that as part of the executive session.
That's correct.
Well, that's the resolution to the grievances.
We're going to be talking about the grievances during the executive session, and I think it's
off discussion until we confer with our attorney who's present today.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Chief? And just to clarify, that is not to be hiding anything. It's just the personnel matters such as that and contract negotiations. Again, based on the advice of legal counsel, is that we deal with those issues in executive session. If any action or discussion is to be taken place, it would be taken place after the executive session. Go ahead.
Well, these are not personnel issues, and they're not negotiation issues. It's a grievance filed with regard to an existing contract.
Thank you. Go ahead, Chief.
Okay. First order of business, recommend a motion to accept the resignation of Chris Reynolds, effective December 30th, 2018.
I'll move to accept the resignation of firefighter Chris Reynolds, effective December 30th, 2018. Is there a second?
Second.
Any second to discussion? Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Second item, recommend a motion to accept the resignation of Anthony Hahn, effective December 31st, 2018.
I'll move to accept the resignation of firefighter Anthony Hahn, effective December 31st, 2018. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
And my last item is to recommend a motion to reassign Derek Chupes from part-time employment to full-time employment, effective January 26, 2019.
I'll move to reassign Derek Chupes from part-time employment to full-time employment with Genoa Township Fire Department, effective January 26, 2019. Is there a second?
Second.
Made seconded. Discussion.
Gary, with the reassignment of Derek, what does that leave as far as headcount? How many open?
That puts us at 25.
How many open?
Well, that's two open currently, and then at the budget meeting I requested an additional three, so I'll be asking, so it depends on how you look at it. To get back up to our current authorization, we're too short.
But we're putting one over, so we're one short?
No, we were three short.
We were three short.
Putting Derek in puts us two short.
Okay, so we're still two short.
Yes.
Irregardless of what happens with the request for the additional three.
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we have two in process. Hopefully, they've got more testing to complete, but hopefully by February we can fill those holes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank
Communications.
You.
Thanks, Chief.
Well, the deadline for appointments was on the 15th. You received 34 applications. 12 of those were applications for reappointments. That leaves 22 that were for folks that are not currently serving on a committee, many of them new applications entirely. Only one of those was received as a paper application, so the new form on the website worked really well and made my life a bit easier. So that's really just a quick summary of what you have in your packets to review.
I think traditionally we've had a special meeting to go over these. Is there interest in having a special meeting? And if so, what's the pleasure of the board?
I think historically we've gone into executive session.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
There's not an urgency to do it.
Not a real urgency.
But we could do some yet today, depending on how long our other issues take.
I think based on your opening comment about trying to get out of here by 11:30 at the latest.
Okay.
Yeah, I would rather hold off on maybe just have a separate meeting to deal with this. Just give us more time.
A special meeting,
I'm sorry, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think there is an urgency, although I wouldn't want to prolong it too long.
I think
there's a need to. So I'd be looking somewhere probably, I don't know what's available yet this month. You could also look at the first part of February. Our next meeting in February will be February 7th. So it might be good if we could get something done before February 7th and then have everything ready to roll by that.
I would ask that we not look at January.
Okay.
That's a difficult month for me.
All right. Yep. So the first couple days there in February, February 1, let me look here. We have the OTA conference, which may or may not be an issue. 4th, 5th, or 6th is wide open for me.
Not the 4th.
Okay.
Could do the evening of the 5th.
Evening of the 5th? That'd work.
Anytime after 5:30.
That would be fine.
Okay. Let's do a special meeting for committee appointments, February 5th. 6:30 good?
Sure.
PM.
That works.
And we'll do it probably back in the conference room.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
Great. Any other new business? Paul?
Yes, sir.
All right. Announcements, January 21st, our offices will be closed for Martin Luther King Day. January 28th, special trustee zoning meeting to address the Gracie's Place application. That'll be at 6:30 here at the Township Hall. February 4th, Fire Rescue EMS Advisory Committee. February 6th, Parks Advisory Committee. The next trustee meeting will be February 7th, 6:30 p.m. here at the office. This time I will move to adjourn an executive session at 10:56 a.m. I'm sorry, 9:56 a.m. For the purpose of preparing for and reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of their employment, to conference with an attorney for the public body concerning disputes involving the public body that are the subject of pending or imminent court action, and to consider the compensation of a public employee or officials. Is there a second?
Second.
And second in discussion?
I'm not sure what the consideration of compensation is for.
Dealing with the grievance.
Grievance, that would be considered compensation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Made and seconded, roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes. Motion carries. We stand adjourned in executive session at 9:57 a.m. Thank you. All right. This time we will come out of executive session and go into our regular scheduled meeting. time is 11:37 a.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. That time, again, was 11:27 a.m. Okay. Any business come before the board relative to the last executive session? Hearing none, I will now make a motion that we go back into executive session to deal with a new issue that would involve the employment, dismissal, or discipline of a public employee. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We stand adjourned in executive session at 11:29 a.m. This time I will make a motion to come out of executive session. The time is 11:49 a.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We are now in regular session of the trustee meeting. This time I will make a motion to adjourn at 11:49 a.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Made seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We stand adjourned at 11:49 a.m.